we have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
When I went to sleep, Trump had to leave. How the hell did we go from election day to election week? The posters started wrong again. They must have been confused. But I tell y'all about shit myself when I turn on the morning news. Cause they found pilots from the mountains at 3 a.m. All the way from Georgia to Michigan. They took the caps off of their Sharpies and they filled them curves in. All those pilots full of ballots all for Joe Biden. Well, isn't that sweet? He got just what he needs. They found just enough folks to get Sleepy Joe to lead. He said, come on, man, I hope you'll be here for it. Donald Trump said, fuck that shit, I'll sleep your ass in court. Bring those pallets, pallets, found at 3 a.m. All the way from Georgia to Michigan. They called Arizona early, and the only way to win is the pallets for the pallets on for Joe Biden. But it doesn't matter, cause they found pallets from the pallets at 3 a.m. All the way from Arizona to Wisconsin. They want us to bend over so they can fuck us again. It's pallets from the pallets, that's the only way they'll win. It's pallets full of pallets, all for somebody. God bless Donald Trump.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. My name is Kurt Wilson. I'm the Armchair Survivalist, and today is December the 6th in the year 2020, and the election is still not over. Well, it is according to the tribe known as Democrats, but not normal humans. Anyway, welcome to the show. If you go to armchairsurvivalist.com, at any page there, armchairsurvivalist.com, you just scroll down, and it's going to tell you all the different ways that you can listen to me. Obviously, you know at least one way because, well, you're listening to me. But there's so many different ways out there every day, and I'm astounded that there is that much more. I didn't know how many different ways there are to listen to me. I get emails from people all over the world saying, oh, yeah, there's a podcast venue that we have in Saudi Arabia, and that's where we pick you up at, or something like that. Pardon me, I just went to armchairsurvivalist.com chat room, and that's where you can go and listen to me if you want to listen to it live on Sundays. But I'm on Stitcher and Anchor and even YouTube. I've got hundreds and hundreds of my shows on YouTube. iHeartRadio, Google, Apple, blah, blah, blah. There's so many of them, it's ridiculous. Global Star 3 Satellite, it puts me up all over the world. At armchairsurvivalist.com, you're going to see a 24/7 live feed of that there. You can listen in the chat room, like I just did, accidentally. You can listen on your phone. Now, this is not toll-free. It's area code 641-741-0371. So that's area code 641-741-0371. So you could just simply dial that number, beginning of the show. It'll connect you, and then you can listen to me that way. Now, if you missed the show and you want to pick up on it, well, I have links. Got a link up here, and it says, listen 24 hours a day to the recent show of the Armchair Survivalist. Click here. Boom. You do that, you can hear the most recent show. To the left of that, you'll see the little white nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. If you click on that, that takes you to all of the shows for the current year. And it shows you how you can either listen right at that point, or you can download it. Real simple. So there's all kinds of different ways you can listen to me. And by the way, if you find any new ways to listen to me, do me a favor, let me know. There's many ways. You go to armchairsurvivalist.com, it'll tell you how to contact me. All right, let's get the business for the business out of the way. My business is Survival Enterprises. We've been in business 35 years, by the way. Ultimate Daily and Swedish Herbs Dry Mix, we're no longer going to be carrying. The ingredients are not available. Long story. This is a supply chain problem, and this supply chain problem is popping up all over the place. This is astounding. My son was at Kroger last night. or Fred Meyer here in North Idaho, and they were out of bags. I mean, period, out of bags. No paper bags, no plastic bags, no fabric bags you can buy and use over and over and over again. And it's a supply chain problem. So we're having that problem also with ingredients for some of the things. If you're going to order liquids, get it done now. Colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, oregano oil, Lugol's iodine, ionic minerals, anything liquid, get it ordered now. And it doesn't matter if it's from us or anyone else. When winter kicks in hard, and it hasn't yet, when it kicks in hard, things are going to start freezing, and liquids, when they freeze, they expand and break, and then next thing you know, you got to file a claim with the post office or UPS and all. You don't need to go through that crap. So just order the liquids as quickly as possible. We have the Voyager shortwave radio in now. It's crank operated. It has internal batteries. You crank it up, it'll charge those batteries. It has a solar panel that'll charge the batteries. You can plug it into your computer. That'll charge the batteries. You can also charge your cell phone or your iPad or whatever. Just plug it into the Voyager radio and crank it. Now, the Voyager is AM, FM. It has emergency NOAA weather band on it, and it's shortwave. And I'll tell you something about that NOAA weather band. That thing scared the hell out of me when we were testing this radio. I didn't know it was an emergency on radio. As soon as there's an emergency NOAA weather band, boom, it turns on. Now, many of you know also we're downsizing our house, so I'm bringing all kinds of oddball crap into the store here in Hayden, Idaho on Government Way. I was a master gunsmith for 25 years. I have my whole collection of firearm books that I brought in here. You may not touch them, but you can come in and look at them. And I'm not sure yet if I'm going to sell them individually or sell them in mass, one fell swoop, so to speak. But I have hundreds of paperback books and hardback books and other books, not just all my gun books, but science fiction books and other manuals. I got so much stuff here. We're bringing so much stuff here. I just want to get rid of it all. I'm probably going to put most of it up on eBay. We're going to get into the economy now. How many of you go to theaters? I don't go to theaters. Maybe once a year I might go to theaters. Do you realize nationwide over 700 of them are closing right now? Again, they were open, now they're closing. And the Warner Brothers is rubbing their face in it. This is ridiculous. Warner Brothers next year are releasing all the movies at the same time that they release them for the screen. They're releasing them to stream at home. And the theater's like, are you crazy? Everybody wants to watch a new movie at home. Looked like they're going to be destroying theaters anyway. Disney is laying off well over 32,000 people in all of their parks worldwide. The end of December, and this is why both parties in Congress right now are trying to put some kind of quote-unquote COVID relief form in. There are about 14 million people going to lose their unemployment. About 14 million going to lose unemployment. And about 30 million are going to be possibly going through eviction. If I was a spaceman sitting in my spaceship right outside of the Earth and I'm looking down and watching all this crap, I go, wow, who planned this stuff? This is perfect. We got to get them on our team so we can do the same thing and subjugate everybody on our planet. Hundreds of these companies that got their payroll protection plan, hundreds of them filed bankruptcy. Didn't help anybody. UPS, because most people are buying presents now and gifts now and doing their shopping online, UPS is overwhelmed because of the forced lockdowns, right? So instead of going to stores and buying stuff, people are buying stuff online, having it shipped in. UPS is getting hammered. Post office is getting hammered. Be aware of that. NASDAQ, you know, you have in the market, you have the Dow Jones and you have the NASDAQ and you have the S&P. Well, the NASDAQ, you're going to love this. The NASDAQ has decided that all of the companies that are on their program, that are on the NASDAQ is going to mandatorily order them to diversify their boards. There's 3,000 companies listed on the NASDAQ in the stock exchange, and they want them to diversify and have more blacks and Mexicans on their board and sexual perverts. And any other unrepresentative minority. So they're going to mandate that they start hiring the handicapped mentally and physically. And New Jersey, some friends of mine that live in New Jersey, and they're saying, yeah, they're going to be voting on making marijuana legal here. In part of the law, they would give cannabis regulators the authority to impose social equity excise fee, which would help fund programs aimed at reducing racial disparities caused by drug laws. It's caused by drug laws, not by druggies. The influential Legislative Black Caucus has lobbied for programs aimed at helping black communities, which have been hard hit by marijuana prohibition. Black residents are likelier to be arrested on marijuana charges than white residents, for example. Well, there's a reason behind that. Because the blacks have been so emboldened by the anti-American Democrats that they will, and I've physically watched this, will walk down the street smoking a joint, daring anyone to say anything. Well, the cop's going to pop them. White people are too smart for that, generally. The problem is that in these areas that they're talking about, of course, blacks are more likely to be arrested than whites because there's more blacks there than there are whites. This is insane. But then again, you know, it's hard. Some of these articles, should I put them under the economy or should I put them under the liberal psychosis? I don't know. It's confusing. It's just, it's ridiculous. All right, now we're going to get into food and health. I don't know if you guys know this. Those of you who live in California, most of you are going to say, huh, didn't know about that. Communist governor that you have there is closing down California. Closing it down. Yeah, you're not allowed to take a walk. You're not allowed to do anything. You're going to have to find out about it. If you go to armchairsurvivalist.com, I will have all my show notes up. On the left-hand side, you see the link that says show notes. Click on it. Find this date, which is going to be December 6th. Look at the notes. You'll be able to read and see everything that's going on. This guy is crazy even for Democrats. There's another crackdown coming in New York City. That megalomaniac there is going to shut down New York City. He hasn't destroyed it yet, so he's going to figure out new ways to actually destroy all the economy in New York City. Now, this has nothing, this other article here has nothing to do with politicians, I think. Giant rats are overtaking New York City's Central Park and the Upper West Side. Giant rats. Now, I heard about this months ago. We're talking size of cats. Now, I hope you all understand that the Black Plague in the Middle Ages was carried by the fleas on rats. Heaven forbid that there is an actual plague that starts in New York City from that. These communist congressmen and senators, they're introducing national mask legislation. It's to mandate all of us, forcing us to wear a mask. I can tell you right now, somebody comes to me and says, you must put a mask on. Well, let's just say that their life will change in the next 5 seconds after they've done that. Over 100,000 people have died in nursing homes, thanks to Democrats. We're talking in Democrat-controlled states. Over 100,000 people have died in the nursing homes because of the insanity. The news came out this week that more than 1,000 workers at the world's top surgical glove manufacturers got COVID-19. Over 1,000 of them. These are all made in Malaysia. These are the blue gloves, okay? They're closing down the plants. So now there's going to be a shortage of gloves. There was some research done in New Jersey pertaining to people who have died from COVID-19. We all know this is a fraud, and they're not dying from COVID-19. They're dying from, what do they call, complications from COVID-19? Not even that, but regardless of all of that, what they discovered was that 89, this is New Jersey, 89% of patients dying had a DNR, do not resuscitate order. So in other words, instead of having to put some effort out to keep these people alive, they'll just let them die, literally, and there's been complaints about that, and then cash in on the $20,000 bonus that the federal government pays all hospitals if they have an actual death from COVID-19. This is astounding because I've mentioned that before. I've also mentioned how much each state is getting paid by the federal government's $100,000 to $300,000 per hospitalization for COVID-19. I was at the doctor's this week. They're under the impression that that is a debunked fake news. And I said, what are you talking about? That's from John Hopkins and from the Centers for Disease Control and from the CARES Act. And they just looked at me like, are you kidding? Yeah, so I had to send the link to him. This PCR test, this test, my chiropractor, he fell for this crap. Oh, he had a little sniffle. He had a sinus infection. So he goes, well, I better get tested. So they tested him and said, yep, you're positive. You have COVID. So 2 weeks, can't see the chiropractor. 2 weeks. And I'm going to let him know how pissed off I am when I do see him. There has been a study from John Hopkins. This is not a fun study, not for the globalists, because it proves this is fraud. So they claim that there's been 250,000 deaths in the United States from COVID-19. Well, let's take the death rates and percentages for the past, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 years, something like that. And how many people died each year? Based on that, everybody's thinking, well, you know, 250,000 people died from COVID-19 this year, so whatever the death rate is, add 250,000 to it. Nope. Death rate's exactly the same. So people are dying from COVID-19, but they're not dying from heart attack. They're not dying from suicide. They're not dying from the flu. They're not dying from drowning. They're not dying from transportation deaths. They're not dying from drug deaths. They're all dying from COVID-19 now. And I have that test. They've taken it off YouTube. They've taken it down from Twitter. They've taken it down from everywhere. I have a copy of it. I even saved a hard copy of it. This proves that this is all phony. And as to this so-called PCR test that they're using to claim that you're testing positive, oh my God, well, let me tell you something. There was a meeting in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and a surprise caller called in, and you have to hear what this surprise caller had to say.
Mr. Chairman, this is Dr. Hodkinson. I just want to let you know I'm standing by.
The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate the opportunity to address you on this very important matter. What I'm going to say is lay language and blunt. It's counter-narrative, and so you don't immediately think I'm a quack. I'm going to briefly outline my credentials so that you can understand where I'm coming from in terms of knowledge base in all of this. I'm a medical specialist in pathology, which includes virology. I trained at Cambridge University in the UK. I'm the ex-president of the pathology section of the Medical Association. I was previously an assistant professor in the Faculty of Medicine, doing a lot of teaching. I was the chairman of the Royal College of Physicians of Canada Examination Committee in Pathology in Ottawa. But more to the point, I'm currently the chairman of a biotechnology company in North Carolina selling a COVID-19 test. And you might say I know a little bit about all of this. The bottom line is simply this. There is utterly unfounded public hysteria driven by the media and politicians. It's outrageous. This is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on an unsuspecting public. There is absolutely nothing that can be done to contain this virus other than protecting older, more vulnerable people. It should be thought of nothing more than a bad flu season. This is not Ebola. It's not SARS. It's politics playing medicine, and that's a very dangerous game. There is no action of any kind needed other than what happened last year when we felt unwell. We stayed home, we took chicken noodle soup, we didn't visit Granny, and we decided when we would return to work. We didn't have anyone to tell us. Masks are utterly useless. There is no evidence base for their effectiveness whatsoever. Paper masks and fabric masks are simply virtue signaling. They're not even worn effectively most of the time. It's utterly ridiculous seeing these unfortunate, uneducated people, I'm not saying that in a pejorative sense, walking around like lemmings, obeying without any knowledge base to put the mask on their face. Social distancing is also useless because COVID is spread by aerosols, which travel 30 meters or so before landing. Enclosures have had such terrible unintended consequences. Everywhere should be open tomorrow, as was stated in the Great Barrington Declaration that I circulated prior to this meeting. And a word on testing. I do want to emphasize that I'm in the business of testing for COVID. I do want to emphasize that positive test results do not, underlined in neon, mean a clinical infection. It's simply driving public hysteria, and all testing should stop unless you're presenting to hospital with some respiratory problem. All that should be done is to protect the vulnerable and to give them all in the nursing homes that are under your control. Give them all 3,000 to 5,000 international units of vitamin D every day, which has been shown to radically reduce the likelihood of infection. And I would remind you all that using the province's own statistics, the risk of death under 65 in this province is 1 in 300,000. You've got to get a grip on this. The scale of the response that you're undertaking with no evidence for it is utterly ridiculous given the consequences of acting in a way that you're proposing. All kinds of suicides, business closures, funerals, weddings, etc., etc. It's simply outrageous. It's just another bad flu. And you've got to get your minds around that. Let people make their own decisions. You should be totally out of the business of medicine. You're being led down the garden path by the the chief medical officer of health for this province. I'm absolutely outraged that this has reached this level. It should all stop tomorrow. Thank you very much.
We're going into another little section here called vaccination. Now, this vaccinations, these people, I'm going to tell you something. These are not vaccinations. You know how most people won't eat genetically modified corn or GM soybeans or any genetically modified garbage? If you take a vaccine, you're going to be genetically modified because that's exactly what it does. It goes into your RNA. It affects it. This is not a temporary thing. This is not something that changes you for a week or a month. This is permanent. You can't subtract it. You can't fix it. If you end up with secondary problems, that's your life from that point on. There are so many warnings out. Pfizer itself, Pfizer in the fine print, has telling people and warning them about what's going to happen if a woman takes this. Let's see. The Pfizer COVID vaccine is approved in the UK and begins next week. What Pfizer has not provided, and I'm reading this from an alert, the ingredients. They won't tell you what the ingredients are. The vaccine has not been tested on children, pregnant women, people taking other medications, and individuals with comorbidities. In other words, it hasn't been tested on anybody taking other medications or who have more than one disease or a problem. What happens is the Pfizer research, it contains a spike protein called syncytin 1. And this is vital for the formation of human placenta. In other words, women. If the vaccine works, that it fights against that protein, then it's going to train the human body, the female body, to attack syncytin 1 also, which will lead to infertility. They have no idea what these vaccines are going to do. I have all of these articles I could read on this, and I'm not going to. I'm going to tell you this simple thing. You will become a genetically modified organism if you take this vaccine. From any of them, be real careful. This is not something that you can fix. This is not something that will heal. When you are genetically modified, it's for the rest of your life. And I'm warning you right now, do not take the vaccine. Defend yourself as vehemently as you can. This is threatening the lives of all humankind. But then again, hey, I and all the other researchers could be wrong. I mean, this could have been out of the blue. Yes, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and it's going to really modify the human body because, again, it's not a vaccine, it's a modification. This could genetically modify the human body to fight off, well, something or other. Maybe it's modifying us to fight off living. We'll find out. Don't take it, and don't allow anyone around you to take it. And here's the other thing. Both Pfizer, Moderna, and five other companies that are manufacturing this so-called vaccine were all asked, after the vaccination, will people be able to pass? Will they shed bacteria or the virus? Will they shed the virus? Like in a normal flu shot, you get the flu shot for 48 hours, you're communicable. You can give somebody else the flu. Well, after the shot, will this become communicable? They don't know. They don't know anything because the tests are all fraudulent. People who have suffered negative and adverse reactions because of this vaccine are not being displayed. Deaths are not being told. So we're just, by our politicians, told to go ahead and take it. I will probably be banning anyone who has taken the vaccine, any of these vaccines, from coming into our store for about a year till we see what kind of danger they exhibit. Now we're going to get into the category of food. Pay attention to what's happening in the grocery stores, ladies and gentlemen, because grocery stores, distribution companies, manufacturing companies like to use emergencies for phony shortages. I've told you about the phony toilet paper shortage that was happening in the 70s. And again, it just recently. We're seeing shortages pop up, and it could be real. We're seeing shortages pop up now in various stores around the nation. Everything from pork to frozen vegetables. So you pay attention to what's going on. And of course, all of you, because you listen to me, are fully stocked up on food now, aren't you? So you shouldn't have any problems at all. I've been following the Beyond Meat company. I've been following the concept of synthetic meats, things, you know, what do they call them? Mushroom burgers and plant-based meat products. I've been following that for years and years and years. There's a company called Beyond Meat, and I was an investor in that years ago, not that far ago, but I sold the shares to it because I didn't think it was going to go anywhere, and I probably should have kept them. Beyond Meat actually tastes pretty good. You can't tell the difference. You literally can't tell the difference. You can look at their food and go, you know, this looks just like hamburger. This looks just like a meatball. This looks just like a turkey breast. Looks like a hot dog. Looks like all kinds of things. So you can see what you're used to seeing, except now this stuff is all made from, who knows what the hell it's made from? I don't know. But I know that Burger King is now going to be selling hamburgers without meat. Pizza Hut is going to be using their Beyond Meat products, Italian sausage. They're testing it out. So they're testing all of this stuff out. They have breakfast sausage, Italian sausage, bratwurst, sliced ham, burgers, skewers, beefs. I mean, this is, you can't tell the difference, and it's a mind blower. I got no problem with this. I have no problem eating things that are plant-based, as long as they tell me what it is and tell me exactly what the ingredients are and tell me whether or not these ingredients are genetically modified or if they have chemicals in them or all of that crap. Singapore is the first country that's going to be actually promoting and selling approved synthetics, lab-created meat. These are meat. This is chicken. It tastes like chicken that's created in a lab. It's created. It's not made by plants. It's created. It's grown in a lab. So you're not even going to know that it's not chicken. It's chicken nuggets, you know. And what they do is they take cells from slaughtered chickens, and they do something in the lab with it. I have no idea what they do. It's top secret. But Singapore is going to be doing this. This is lab-grown meats. There is a shortage right now of soybeans. Most of you don't know this, but the majority of animal feed worldwide is soybeans. This seems like another conspicuous shortage. And the Ice Age farmer has something to say about this.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning from California, where it's now against orders to go for a walk. It would be funny if it weren't actually happening. The levels of tyranny reaching such absurd, epic proportions that even the most dystopic novels and movies are being put to shame. From the 10 p.m. statewide curfew to yesterday, the Department of Defense unveiling a COVID-19 vaccination record card that will be issued to all Americans, I don't want to devolve into the minutiae of the creeping totalitarianism all around us. But instead, I want to ask the question, why is this happening, and why now? And I also want to tie this into my previous report about the World Economic Forum issuing a warning about a next crisis, one that will dwarf the impact of coronavirus, which is unthinkable. And to answer that question, we need to talk about soybeans. Specifically, the fact that during the presidential election, while all eyes were on that, the USDA came out and finally had what I've been referring to as their day of reckoning. In other words, they finally stopped lying about the amount of food that we actually have on hand. Reading briefly here, the drop in corn ending stocks was the biggest decline in the report, a nearly half billion bushel decrease to 1.7 billion bushels. That would be the lowest figure in that category since 2013. Soybean ending stocks were also cut by 100 million bushels, now down to 190 million bushels, a figure which is the lowest level of the past 7 years. Or, in the always understated words of Arlen Suderman, that's pretty tight. In the less understated words of other analysts, we're at risk of running out of soybeans. Will we run out from AgFacts here? Given the active pace of exports, USDA ending stocks are probably still too high, and there is a legitimate threat that soybean stocks could get even tighter. This was unthinkable earlier this year, unless you're watching this channel, in which case we've been covering the typhoons in China, the drought in Brazil, the derecho in the United States. There have been multiple blows to our crop production this year that's off the charts. In response, China has already emptied the cupboard of the world's largest soybean producer, that being Brazil. The USDA estimating they only have 82 million bushels left, and for that reason, they are now actively importing the world's largest soybean producer. Brazil is now starting to import the US crop, which is GMO. They would never touch this stuff in the past, but we read here, Brazil has issued a protocol instruction authorizing imports of GM soy and corn from the US at a time when Brazil is dealing with low stocks and record prices for these products. Brazil facing a shortage of soybeans. Why? Mainly due to strong exports to China and due to heated domestic demand. China is hoovering up as much food as they can from anywhere in the world, and now they're doing the same thing here. Other analysts are indicating 190 million balance sheet this early in the year is unprecedented. We haven't even started using it yet. It will be tighter before it's over for that reason, and the USDA is usually off on their figures anyway. That's why multiple people are saying we're at risk of running out. Earlier in the year, USDA was estimating that we had 610 million bushels of soybeans. The illusion of superabundance. We've read this before. Many of us were relieved to see China starting to buy these things up, but now the market has been surprised to find out supplies are much lower than expected, and in fact are in danger of running out. Multiple analysts across the industry are talking about this running out of soybeans. Here's another, Scott Irwin at UI, saying, I did not think China would actually start buying as much product as they are right now. How the world can change in just a few months. Indeed, Scott, look, they're now purchasing $17.5 billion of food just in October. Like I said, they are sucking up food from anywhere they can get it. They've already cleaned out Brazil, and now they're eating out our substance. It is for this reason that I think the USDA is way high still, because all they've done so far is reduce the production side, and we all know that there's been more demand than ever before. So, quote, to get us down here already into some tight areas without even accounting for that demand, this could get interesting down the road. Again, an understated way of saying we are running out of food. And when you run out of soybeans, see, actual ending stocks could be even tighter than the USDA is estimating. Now, what happens when you run out of soybeans? Of course, we all know soybean meal is the number one animal feed in the world. If you cannot feed your animals, then you proceed to kill them off, which means there will immediately be a glut of meat hitting the market at really low prices as ranchers and producers around the world are killing off their animals because they can't afford to feed them. The price of animal feed will skyrocket and people will start selling or killing off their animals. Then, after that, there will be no animals. This is what we're setting up to see. And of course, this is the end of animal agriculture that Bill Gates and the head of Impossible Foods and the Great Food Transformation and the Rockefeller Foundation all describe we're entering right now with vertigo as we approach the 2030 goals, the end of animal agriculture. You can also expect to see more barns and farms burning down as producers desperately try and get the insurance money back rather than just lose everything as feed prices go through the roof. We're witnessing it happening right now as we run out of soybeans globally. In other words, something has to give right now. Something has to change. You don't expect Sonny Perdue to get up and say, shock, we really screwed the pooch on this one, guys. No, some crisis will be manufactured in order to give cover fire to this, and of course, in order to create the opportunity for them to seize upon that crisis and push ahead with their agendas, with the Great Food Transformation, with the Reset the Table, with the Great Reset. All of these will be furthered by the crisis that will be created because of this global soybean shortage. In fact, we already see ADM, the world's largest producer of animal feed, beginning construction on what will be the world's largest insect protein factory in order to keep feeding animals going forward. But this isn't here yet. We already see Singapore approving lab-grown meat, fake, nasty, synthetic, disgusting lab-grown meat, fake chicken. And Israel, in fact, just opened up the first lab-grown meat restaurant. Ironically, it's called The Chicken. There's no chicken in it, and you don't even have to pay to eat it right now because it's so disgusting. Diners are not required to pay for their meals. We just want you get people acclimated to it. But again, this is in the future. People don't want lab-grown meat. Something has to give now. We need solutions now. And this is when I return to my previous report on the World Economic Forum's threats about a cyber pandemic. Klaus Schwab, we heard, in no uncertain terms, discussing the idea that the power grid could go down as a function of a cyber attack. He is not the first one to say this. He's only echoing the warnings we heard way back in 2013 from the outgoing head of DHS, Janet Napolitano, who warned the next 9/11 is on the horizon here. We can see it. It is a cyber 9/11, and it's going to take down the grid and cause a loss of everything, of infrastructure, of our water infrastructure, so no municipal water supplies. This is something that we've talked about before, but today I want to look at a different possibility, a different cyber attack, because within the day that I put out the report about the cyber pandemic, a couple interesting things happened. First of all, the FBI also started talking about cybercrime and cybersecurity, and notably, they even tagged the World Economic Forum when they were talking about it. Like, hey guys, we're in on this too. We know this is coming. That's a little bit speculative there, but why else is the FBI tipping the hat to the World Economic Forum? More interestingly, and more significantly, the day of that report, Americold experienced a ransomware attack which shut down their systems. Now, before we go any further, who's Americold? What are we talking about here? Americold is the world's largest cold food and frozen food logistics company. They own and operate the bulk of frozen food storage and transportation in the world. Let's hear a little bit from their CEO about who they are and what they do.
With over 1 billion cubic feet of storage, Americold is the global leader in temperature-controlled warehousing, transportation, and logistics for the food industry.
Over 94% of all product that you see in your grocery store in the frozen food section comes through a third party. We're the largest in that space. We operate in every single tenant of the supply chain from point of harvest to point on shelf.
Now, you can manage your supply chain better than ever with Americold's updated i3PL platform. Americold's i3PL Supply Chain Visibility Tool is an industry-leading application that provides you with a complete picture of your inventory across our network. i3PL features visibility throughout 150-plus facilities.
Okay, so you heard the CEO of Americold say 94% of all frozen food in the supermarket comes through a third-party logistics company like Americold. So you may have lots of producers growing food, and we certainly have lots of consumers eating it, but it all goes through this central point of failure. 94% of the frozen food in the supermarket goes through third-party logistics. And if that were taken out, then we all know supermarkets only have about 3 days of food. This is the Achilles heel of our food system. In the wake of this cyber attack, I certainly would have expected to see lots of media coverage about this. Not only is this a significant thing, as we can see here, drivers, truckers were coming up to get their deliveries. I'm at Americold. Their systems are down. They can't even assign me a door. Without their computers, they have these massive frozen warehouses, but no one knows what's there. No one knows what's coming in. No one knows what's going out. You can't run a huge operation at scale like that without systems. I would have expected to see some media coverage about this, particularly given that everyone is talking about it right now. The FBI wants you to be thinking about cybercrime. Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum are talking about cybercrime and how we have to get ready. So certainly this would be something that would be amplified. Look at this threat we have here. Nothing. There was nothing except for a few security trade magazines that acknowledged that Americold was down for days, unable to do any food deliveries during this time when their systems were down. Here's another report. The company email is still down. I can't even work today because there's no food deliveries. I can only speculate as to why the media didn't touch this story, but it certainly seems to me that this is a practice run, that this was a first attack on Americold to see just how effective it would be to shut down their systems. And it was extremely effective. As we just saw, drivers couldn't even make any deliveries. We've got these warnings about a substantial, hugely impactful attack on our food supply chain. We realize we're running out of food and something has to be done to cover for that. And there have been practice runs just in these last couple weeks that actually took down the what I'm calling the Achilles heel of our entire food supply chain. Ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to make sure everyone is very clear that this is an extremely delicate and fragile situation we're all in right now. If you depend on the supermarket to eat, then these things can go down like that. And they almost did. And furthermore, that there is now reason for this to happen. Because if we run out of soybeans and we run out of food, then they will need to do something so that they control the narrative, so that they can say, we told you about the cybercrime, and here it is. Now you have to have your digital online ID. Now we need you to have biometric security, which the UN is calling for openly. Now we need you to have your unique identification and vaccination record card. It's not just a vaccine record card at that point. It becomes the instrument to implement food rationing. We've already seen stores limiting purchases, but of course you could go to other stores. To implement rationing across all stores, you would need a unique digital ID like the ones that are rolling out now. So while certainly the vaccinations are an issue that merits our attention, I wanted to make very clear today that we are also witnessing the implementation, the instrumentation of global food rationing. And we also see very clearly the reasoning that that has to be implemented because we're out of food. We're running out of soybean right now. There's another thing I wanted to bring up today, and that is this. Grocery stores are being involved in the distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine. From BeckersHospitalReview.com, how grocery stores and retail pharmacies are prepping for COVID-19 vaccine distribution. Supermarkets are training staff and hiring employees in preparation to administer COVID-19 vaccines. Food City, Albertsons, Vons, all are coordinating with government agencies around the country to build cold storage capacity for vaccines that are stored at low temperatures. Chains are training staff to administer vaccines. Supermarkets are hiring more employees, especially pharmacy technicians. Why are grocery stores even involved at all in healthcare, in administering vaccines? This to me is an even bigger tell that the vaccination record, your unique identifier, is going to be part of the grocery store experience. And if you don't have your vaccination record, your food rationing card on hand, then you will not be allowed to shop for food. And we see this happening around the world. The Welsh government 2 days ago said that they're going to be getting ID cards. The UN is broadcasting that we should all around the world have our unique digital biometric-based digital identifications. As I mentioned at the top, the immunity cards are being rolled out by the Department of Defense in the United States right now. And all of that serves to underscore my main point today, and that is this. Food will be used as the point of leverage to achieve the Great Reset agenda. All of it. From the vaccinations to the food rationing. It's not going to be a door-to-door vaccination squad that comes to get you. It will be that you go to the grocery store and you need to show that card to get your food.
Now we're getting into the liberal psychosis. You know, the liberal psychosis category is really disgusting because these people are not even human. I don't understand. In Portugal, there is a Muslim from Senegal who says, and they were talking in an anti-hate group where he was talking, saying, well, it's necessity that we start killing whites. We need to start killing whites all over the place. And this is nothing new, but this is starting to become more and more emboldened. And the more that these psychotics are emboldened, eventually they start putting their mouth where their thoughts are, so to speak, and they start problems all over the world. And it's starting in the United States. And it's been going on in the United States for the past 20 years, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. Cory Booker is introducing a bill first of the year. It's just like they did in South Africa. Let's take all the land and give it to these poor, poor blacks so that they can grow farms and things and be self-sufficient and blah, blah, blah. The poor, poor blacks, yes. A pervert, I'm not sure what the hell this thing is, male, female, switch hitter or something, but they say that all Christian conservatives are like rapists and they should be handled. Now, those of you who are on Twitter, by the way, they just hired, now it looks like a female, I'm pretty sure it's female. It calls itself queer. I have no idea what it is. It could be who knows what it is. But it's going to be in charge of user safety at Twitter. What is user safety? Well, that's so that the snowflakes don't get harmed by bad words or bad thoughts. Yeah. Seattle City Council approves an 18% police budget decrease. We're talking millions of dollars. In other words, they're taking money out. And they decided that instead of having judges determine sentencing for a criminal, they're going to have a community panel. And they will evaluate whether or not this disposed person or this confused inner city youth needs to be put in jail or just a slap on a wrist and put in a corner for an hour. Say New York City shootings in October surged 120% year over year. I could read this to you. I'm not going to. There's 72 types of Americans that are considered potential terrorists. Now, by who? Well, I can tell you by who. By the deep state. People don't understand what the hell's going on with the government. You have over 800 agencies in the United States government. The United States Post Office is one. But there's all kinds of them. The FBI is one. There's over 800 of them. The majority of them are staffed by communists. Use the word communist, Democrat, socialist, doesn't matter. They're the exact same word. Oh, by the way, MoveOn.org, which I'm a member of because I'm a member of all of these communist organizations, they're having a push now to get, quote unquote, get big money out of voting. Get big money out, right? It's so they call this voting rights, right? They want to get big money out of all of the politics. So they're selling stamps. Now these are stamps that you stamp something with, and it says stop. One of them says stop the attack on voting rights. Black votes matter. The system isn't broken; it's fixed. Black votes matter. Don't block black votes. And it goes on and on and on. And there's more of this racist BS. So there's all these stamps you can buy. The idea is you put it on your bill and then use these bills. So you're passing this into the system. So everybody has to look at it. What I want everyone to know is that if I see any money with this on it, I won't take it. It's that simple. If you walk into my store and you try and buy something from me and you use one of these communist propaganda things that are stamped on a bill, I don't care if it's a $100 bill, I will refuse it. And if I go to the bank and I'm pulling money out and they hand me one of those things, I will refuse it. And I want every one of you listening that if you see any of these communist propaganda stamps on any bills, any money, refuse it. They're also going to put them, let's say it's a corporation like Avista Electrical Corporation. They send you a bill, your normal monthly bill, and somebody put the stamp on it. Send it back to them. Refuse it. Stand up for what's right, not for the crap that they're trying to push on us. This Black Lives Matter phony is just, it's so ridiculous. There was a little debate a couple weeks ago. You're going to love this guy shut it down so fast with stats.
The debate topic is, where is America going on racism and BLM? And what should we be doing next? And we're going to begin with Gay Town Hall and Taisha.
As someone who sits on this panel freely and with consent representing the black populace, as a black person, I find it really hard to have conversations and see these opinions from people who do not look like me and don't share that lens and that reality of that fear walking out the house and being troubled when I see a police officer down the street knowing that I could be racially profiled at any moment.
We're going to move to Walkaway, who's going to begin for 2 minutes.
I will go. So I just want to start by saying that I may not look like you, Taisha, but I'm just going to give you some numbers, and numbers have no color. They don't lie. So why don't we start with the fact that there are 328 million people in America. There are 41.4 million black people in America, which is 12.6% of the population. Yet 12.6% of the population is committing more than 50% of violent crime in this country. 9 unarmed black men were killed by police in 2019. 9 unarmed. Now, unarmed doesn't mean innocent. Unarmed doesn't mean not a threat. So last year, 0.00022% of the black population was an unarmed black person killed by the police. That is why we are burning America to the ground. That is why we are creating this false narrative of black people being attacked by police based off of 0.00022% of the black population. This represents 0.1% of all black homicides in the entire year of 2019. A police officer is 18.5 times more likely to be killed by a black man than a black man is to be killed by a police officer. The number of unarmed black Americans killed by police is down 23% since 2015 when Barack Obama was the president. And 93% of black homicides are committed by other black Americans. So if you truly care about black lives, I suggest you get to Chicago, because every weekend, dozens of black people are being killed by other black people. The Black Lives Matter movement is the greatest lie ever told, ever believed, and we are burning our country down for no reason whatsoever.
Now, if that doesn't strike home and you take umbrage at somebody actually telling the truth and explaining the reality to this semi-humanoid creature, now, you didn't, I don't know if you got this or not, but not only is she a black female, she's a racist. She's also a sexual pervert and a few other different organizations that are just as disgusting. Well, if none of that strikes home to you, then this next clip is for you.
Would you like to know how to be more obedient? Of course you would. It helps get rid of things like freedom, self-expression, and happiness. But being strictly obedient not only means you're contributing to a better world, it also gives you a life you'll enjoy living. So pay close attention so you can learn how to be more obedient. Think that the people controlling you are protecting you. You need to think that the people controlling you are doing so for your own good. That way you'll allow them to continue having power over you. It's the way any perpetrator wants their abuse victim to think. Wait for permission. You know inspiring people are just losers who tell you to live your life boldly and not wait for anybody to give you permission to take action and follow your heart. Instead, it's best to hide inside waiting for someone else to give you permission for when you can go outside, see your family, or exercise. Live in fear. You can't be obedient unless you're first constantly in fear. So be sure to pay very close attention to words and headlines that are designed to make you scared. Words like COVID cases and headlines constantly reminding you how many people could die rather than how many have died will help you. Believe censorship is protecting you. Instead of knowing you're an intelligent adult who can think for yourself, understand you need the supreme leaders of Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey to tell you what's true and hide everything else from you to protect you from your own thoughts. It's not condescension, it's protection. Believe what the media tells you. As you watch propaganda constantly being fed to you by the media, just believe that the propaganda they're feeding you is true, because it's in English, not Chinese, so you can trust it. Treat safety as your life's purpose. Instead of being brave, just live in denial that death is part of reality as you enjoy your passionate pursuit of safety. But just know you can eventually come out of the coffin of your comfort zone once there's no more death in the world, because then it'll be safe. Outsource your truth. Don't trust your perspective. It's not shaped by anybody but you. So it's probably just misinformation. Instead, for example, when you see that the overall death rate during this year of the deadly pandemic is a little bit less than the overall death toll of 2018, keep trusting the untrustworthy people who tell you it's deadlier than the factual numbers you're seeing on the CDC website. You're being gaslit. Bonus obedience. With your health and well-being, blindly trust computer programmers who have been found guilty in federal antitrust lawsuits. Never question corrupt authorities. When you see a supreme leader like Gavin Newsom sitting inside a restaurant in close proximity with 12 unmasked people, just know he didn't want you to find out. So it doesn't count. But keep doing what he tells you to do, even though it's obvious he doesn't think it's necessary to do what he's telling you to do. After all, he didn't get elected to a position of power to not have power over people. Don't think for yourself. When people around you are afraid of something that your heart and own critical thinking tell you you don't need to be afraid of, betray yourself and be afraid like everyone else. Instead of being a leader, you'll feel like you fit in by being a sheep. And sheep are some of the most inspiringly obedient animals in existence. As you suffocate your freedoms with the joy of obedience, you'll never have to wonder what it's like in North Korea, because you'll be living it. Enjoy being obedient.
Let's get right into government threat. Those of you who live in the Bay Area, San Francisco just bans smoking in your apartment. You are banned from smoking, cigarettes in your apartment. You want to light up a joint? That's something different. How about in Virginia? Virginia, one of the most socialist states we have in the continental United States, 83% surge in failures in school. Why? Because they're not in school. They're sitting home. Instead of doing schoolwork on the computer, they're playing online games or watching porn or what have you. 83% surge in Fs. Duh. You know what? When we get done with this phony horse crap that the Democrats have foisted onto us, we're going to have a society of imbeciles with asthma. Well, speaking of asthma or breathing, Biden is not saying where he stands on this, this called the Breathe Act. Most of you have never even heard about this, but it's a big thing, and he's not saying anything about it. Well, it's introduced by a communist, Rashid Tlaib of Michigan, and other communists. It doesn't matter. It has to do with because of all of the bad things that the white people have done to everyone that isn't white. Well, this Breathe Act, it wants to eliminate life sentences, retroactively expunging drug crimes for nonviolent criminals, shutting down and defunding multiple federal agencies, law enforcement agencies, permanently closing prisons and immigration detention centers. And that's just some of the things they want to have done. And all of it is to fight back against evil white people. Let's see, Joe Biden has celebrated Transgender Day of Remembrance. This is a day that some communists decided we should remember all the transvestites that got their butts kicked or got killed or something like that. I think there's like 40 of them in the past too many years. And speaking of sick, that pile of Schumer, he's backing a Biden plan to force all public schools from kindergarten up through college to allow transgender students into any bathroom they want and any locker room. Now, remember transgender. I would say about 80% are transvestites. That's a male that pretends he's female. Or butch dykes. That's females that can't confront being female and would rather pretend to be a male. And they want them in all of the schools, in the bathrooms, wherever they want. I have a list here, and I'm not going to read it because I don't have time. I don't want to waste my time. 65 communists in Congress. So members of the Democrat National Committee think that they're going to have a problem after Trump gets removed from the White House, deprogramming 75 million Trump supporters. See, that's the idea. There's something wrong with us because we support the concept of freedom and righteousness, which is what Trump is promoting. So we're all bad. You know, here's another list I have. This is a list of, well, it's swamp creatures or rhinos, Republican in name only, who are calling for Trump to concede. You can guess who's on the list. I'm not going to waste my time. But you go to armchairsurvivalist.com, go to show notes for this date, December 6th, and you will see these notes. You can look at them yourself. I also have a list of conservatives who've been censored by communist big tech. We have there's a Facebook group here in Coeur d'Alene. It's Conservatives for Trump. Facebook banned it. And here's why. Not just, they let them on there because they were conservative and they didn't care because, we, you know, we're just some little po-hunk city up here in North Idaho. Well, except when BLM and Antifa decided to invade Coeur d'Alene, we stopped them. And how we stopped them was that this Facebook page was used as a communication center where we could communicate, here's where they are now, here's where they're going to be later, and they passed those communications on. So because Facebook was effective in stopping BLM from coming in here, Facebook took it off. They took it down. That is one of the points. There are 6 points to taking over a country by communism. One of those points is communication. Unfortunately, our communicative abilities have devolved, not just from the internet, but into Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and, you know, over and over, all of these forms of communication that are 100% controlled by communists. And we're going to stay in the dark because of that. Oh, Twitter has come out and said that come January 20th, Trump will be banned. From Twitter, of course. Now, here's a cool thing. A congresswoman was elected. I saw her ads, and one of them was her shooting a 50 BMG. She's cool. She comes out of Rifle, Colorado, and she got elected to Congress. She carries a Glock, and she's going to get permission to carry it in Congress. Let's see how the let's see what happens there. You know, I don't know if you guys know this, but the Hill, Congress, and the Senate used to be kind of rowdy. There were many times congressmen would get in fights with each other, And that's why, I mean, right there, on a, right there in Congress, they'd get into knockdown dragouts. Well, that's why they passed some rules that they had to be courteous to each other. You can't call them a damn liar to their face. You have to do it through the media or something like that. All right, now we're going to get into election fraud. There is so much here. Stacey Abrams is under investigation for soliciting phony voter registrations. And right out in front of us. You know, it's not like they're hiding this stuff. It's right out in front of us. There was a massive cluster of voters comes out of Wayne County, Missouri. Or, I'm sorry, Michigan. They all for Biden, of course. They all came from a psychiatric hospital in Nevada. And my brother's in Nevada. In Nevada, computers tallied 77,000 more votes than actual ballots. And there's no election fraud. Have you noticed? Not once, no matter how many thousands and thousands. Matter of fact, the website hereistheevidence.com, you go there, there's over 1,100 verified election frauds or abnormalities, whatever word you want to use. In Nevada, there were thousands of votes that were registered as a home address, the casinos. And in Nevada, they found, let's see, 1,500 dead voters. 42,000 people had voted multiple times. As a matter of fact, a green card holder, he's a Mexican, and he came on TV. He said, "Look, I'm a green card holder. I want to be a citizen. I received a mail-in ballot. I'm not allowed to vote." Now, let me tell you something. This has been ongoing, and you've seen it if you've watched any of these reports or any of these sessions that they had with Trump's lawyers, and they're showing all the fraud that's in existence and going on. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Well, the United States Post Office is complicit in all of this. And as a matter of fact, there's a driver, a USPS truck driver. You know, mailmen don't move the mail from one city to the next. They have these 40 to 50 foot container trucks, 18 wheelers, and they pull them from all over the place. Well, here's one of these truck drivers who had, according to him, very weird day.
In total, I saw 24 Gaylords, or large cardboard containers, of ballots loaded into my trailer. These Gaylords contain plastic trays of ballots stacked on top of each other. All the envelopes were the same size. I could see the envelopes had handwritten addresses, return addresses. They were complete ballots. I didn't think much of it at the time. At Bethpage, I was first loaded with two tall Gaylords. I was loaded with two tall Gaylords, okay? They had mixed mail pieces bound for Lancaster. The remainder of the truck was loaded with complete ballots bounded for Harrisburg. I then drove to Harrisburg with the ballots. Usually, I offload in one of the seven docks every day, but not on October 21st. I wasn't allowed to offload. That's different. Whenever I pull into Harrisburg, I go around and I get my dock and I get unloaded and then I roll out. Not that day, all right? Not that day. Instead, I was made to wait for roughly 6 hours in the yard from 9:15 a.m. to 3 p.m. I tried to get the attention of postal workers, but no one would tell me what's going on. All of this was weird. I arrived at about the same time every day. The expediter scans all my seals and barcodes. They unload me. But from the time I first arrived in Harrisburg from Bethpage, everything got weird. None of that happened. After waiting 6 hours, I went inside to figure out what's going on. I was told to wait for the transportation supervisor. This was also weird. 16 months I've been doing this. I haven't ever talked to the transportation supervisor for United States Postal Service. I talk to an expediter. I come in, I see an expediter. That's who I deal with. If I have an issue, it's the expediter. I don't deal with anyone else but the expediter. I have my own transportation supervisor for the company that I work for. He's the one that gives me the details. He's the one that I listen to. I don't listen to this guy. He's the guy that would contact my boss if he needed something ran different. The supervisor told me to drive to Lancaster without being unloaded in Harrisburg. This made no sense to me. I knew the ballots were loaded for Harrisburg, and that if I was to go to Lancaster, that would have to off unload my those pallets in Lancaster to take off Lancaster stuff to put the ballots back on the trailer to send them back to Harrisburg. Doesn't make no sense. This was a real screw up in my thinking. I wanted my ticket. So whenever I go to a place, when I go there and whenever I'll leave, I'll get a ticket. I'll get a ticket, a slip, whatever you want to call it. It's the date, time that I'm supposed to be there. It'll have my trailer number on it. It'll have how much I'm loaded. It'll have the seal number. It has my name. It'll have who was the expediter. So I wanted my ticket, my slip. And then because I was there for 6 hours, I wanted my late slip too, because I wanted to be paid for sitting in that yard for 6 hours. I wanted the ticket and the late slip for stopping in at Harrisburg. Also, I wanted it because if they tell me to take this load to Lancaster, I don't want to pull up the Lancaster of Harrisburg crap and be like, yeah, they just told me to be or come here and not have no ticket, because they don't look like I just came straight here, you know? Just to prove that I was there. And so others would know I wasn't the person that screwed this up. A ticket is always provided to a driver when they arrive at a United States Postal Service facility. It proves you were there. The transportation supervisor refused to give me a ticket and told me to leave. I then demanded he give me a late slip since I wanted to get paid for the time I was sitting there. He refused to give me that too. He was kind of rude and wouldn't explain anything to me. He just told me to go to Lancaster. I then drove to Lancaster, unhooked my trailer in its normal place, and then drove my truck to where I always park it in a nearby lot, and then I went home. The next day, it just got weirder. As I arrived at Lancaster, at Lancaster's United States Postal Service facility, with my tractor, I went to hook up to my trailer, and my trailer was gone. 10R1440. Since I started driving that Bethpage route, I've always had trailer 10R1440. What happened on October 21st was a series of unusual events that cannot be a coincidence. I know I saw ballots with return addresses filled out, thousands of them, loaded onto my trailer in New York and headed for Pennsylvania. At first, I didn't think it was a big deal. In fact, I thought it was really awesome. I really did. I was like, sweet, I'm doing something for the presidential race. You know, this is cool. But as things became weirder, I got to thinking and wondered why I was driving complete ballots from New York to Pennsylvania. I didn't know why, so I decided to speak up.
And I just saw a video where Trump came right out and said the U.S. Postal Service is complicit in his election fraud. Well, let's see if anybody gives a damn in the swamp, because that's all that is in Washington, D.C., and that's pretty much who he has in his cabinet. These are swamp creatures. They want to be here forever and ever. It doesn't matter who's the president, because they have no moral stance. They just want to hang around for power and money. I watched the election integrity hearing in Georgia, and they actually popped out this video. Now, as soon as this video was shown, senators and congressmen that were on the stage looked at that. We've never seen that. We've never heard of that. And what it shows is at a certain time at night, the Democrats kicked out all the Republican poll watchers, kicked them out, locked the doors, and immediately pulled suitcases full of ballots out from underneath the tables that had been hidden there, and then proceeded for the rest of the night to enter these hidden ballots into force. Into the count. Now, there was one woman, a black woman, with a red blouse on and weird hair. Turns out her name is Ruby. This is so they figured out who one of these people is that was doing this illegal counting. And not only is her name Ruby, but her daughter is in charge of the vote counting there. We've talked, and many other people have talked also, about how the internet shifts votes. People change their vote because of something they did or didn't see on the internet. They came, scientists have discovered, and in their research, that a minimum of 6 million votes in this election were shifted to Biden because of what people saw. You know, it's like you go to Google, and if you do a search, says, the most trusted politician on earth, Biden's name would pop up. Or the most hated politician, Trump's name would pop up. They maneuver this stuff. Now, in all of these hearings that I saw, they were all talking about the fraud that's being committed by Dominion voting machines. These execs for this company refuse to show up anywhere. They refuse to talk about anything in any way, shape, or form to anyone. There is, what do they call them? They call them digital forensic scientists. And they've got a bunch of them working on this case right now. They found, this is a massive plot. It's broken down scientifically to explain exactly what's going on with all these Dominion machines. See, these Dominion machines were not supposed to be hooked to the internet, and they were. Literally, they were hooked to the internet. They were things were happening to them at all times. People aren't sure exactly what's going on or what did go on. So these forensic scientists, these digital forensic scientists or investigators are checking things out, and they're finding that Dominion machines are hooked to three or four other software programs and use these programs that are owned by Communist Chinese. Just a short time ago, Dominion was bought by the Communist Chinese for $400 million. This election is illegal, and the Democrats know it. 100%. The governor, the Pennsylvania governor, illegally demanded that Dominion voting machines be used. It was not. See, he can't do that. This is the thing that people keep saying. Well, he can't do that. Well, he does it. Why? Because he gets away with it. According to Pennsylvania law, that kind of activity has to be voted on by the lawmakers. It wasn't. You know, let's see. The Chicago Election Board approved providing remote access to Dominion for the election. They approved it. This is a conspiracy so large that people aren't going to believe it. That's how the devil gets away with it. He commits crimes so heinous that people, just their minds will not encompass it. There is a connection, and the digital forensics, they have a connection. I have a copy of it. It's, every time it's posted on the internet, it's taken down no matter where it's posted. Well, it's unscribed, and I have it. And it actually shows the interconnectivity of everything. It will blow your mind. And these are the voting machines that we used in the United States for this election. Now, here's the sad thing. Just before the election, the Department of Homeland Security set up a sector coordinating council with Dominion and Smartmatic. Smartmatic are the programs, some of the programs that are used in those Dominion machines. Our Department of Homeland Security is working in conspiracy as well. Oh, and there was a Republican candidate. This was Chicago funny. He's Republican, like I said. He won the election in New York. And then magically, they found 55 votes, 55 ballots under a table, accidentally. Oh, I told you about the election integrity hearings that are happening around the country. In Pennsylvania, the senator that organized this election integrity hearing, Twitter banned him. Now, the governor of Georgia and the secretary of state of Georgia are both on record saying, yeah, we don't see any fraud whatsoever, so we're going to certify this vote. And now the governor turns around after the hearing where they proved and showed all kinds of fraud. Governor comes out and says, you know, maybe we ought to have a signature audit on these ballots. Maybe we ought to see what's going on. Well, Sidney Powell, who is working not for the Trump campaign, but with them, fighting her own little fight, has filed a 104-page complaint of massive fraud in Georgia election and Michigan. Based on the reactions and actions from the bought and paid for Democrat politicians and judges in these states, it'll probably be dismissed, and then she'll have to take it to the Supreme Court. There is a phenomenon that's been occurring in the United States for the past 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, who knows, maybe 200 years. But it seems that the political parties aren't actual political parties. They become tribes. Tribes are a group of people, often of related families, sharing the same culture, beliefs, customs, morals, and history. And many times they're found living together. Okay, this is a tribe. Now, we can extrapolate that to two different tribes in the United States. These are the two largest tribes in America. There are a lot of sub-tribes, but most people fit into one or the other tribe. And I don't know what to call them yet. This is a dissertation in progress here. So the two tribes that I can evaluate, that I think are functional, the first, we'll call them Americans. Therefore, individualism, personal responsibility, tolerance, fair exchange, property ownership, the home is his castle, charitable giving, willing to give a hand up, belief in the fair market structure, equality of ability, effort, and rewards. Now, what that means is you work real hard, you get paid real hard. You know, you use your inventive ability and invent something everybody wants. Well, you should reap the rewards from that. We reward success, not effort. We don't give you an A-plus for effort. We value liberty and freedom and follow the rule of law. We believe in the Constitution. These are what the tribe Americans are for. Now, the founding fathers had 28 fundamental beliefs that all of them agreed on. These are principles. The only reliable basis for sound government and just human relations is natural law. Natural law is God's law. Principle 2, a free people cannot survive under a Republican constitution unless they remain virtuous and morally strong. Okay? Principle 3, the most promising method of securing a virtuous people is to elect virtuous leaders. Principle 4, without religion, the government of a free people cannot be maintained. Principle 5, all things were created by God. Therefore, upon him, all mankind are equally dependent, and to him they were equally responsible. Principle 6, all mankind were created equal. Equal before God, equal before the law, equal in their rights. Principle 7, the proper role of government is to protect equal rights, not provide equal things. Principle 8, mankind are endowed by God with certain unalienable rights. Principle 9, to protect human rights, God has revealed a code of divine law. Principle 10, the God-given right to govern is vested in the sovereign authority of the whole people. Principle 11, the majority of the people may alter or abolish a government which has become tyrannical. Principle 12, the United States of America shall be a republic. Principle 13, a constitution should protect the people from the frailties of their rulers. Principle 14, life and liberty are secure only so long as the rights of property are secure. Principle 15, the highest level of prosperity occurs when there is a free market economy and a minimum of government regulations. Principle 16, the government should be separated into three branches. Principle 17, a system of checks and balances should be adopted to prevent the abuse of power by the different branches of government. Now you tell me in hearing this how many have been violated. Principle 18, the unalienable rights of the people are most likely to be preserved if the principles of government are set forth in a written constitution. But according to the Democrats, the constitution is fluid. Principle 19, only limited and carefully defined powers should be delegated to the government, all others being retained by the people. Principle 20, efficiency and dispatch require that government operate according to the will of the majority, but constitutional provisions must be made to protect the rights of the minority. Principle 21, strong local self-government is the keystone to preserving human freedom. Principle 22, a free people shall be governed by law and not by the whims of men. Principle 23, a free society cannot survive as a republic without a broad program of general education. Principle 24, a free people will not survive unless they stay strong. Principle 25, peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none. Principle 26, the core unit which determines the strength of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect its integrity. Principle 27, the burden of debt is as destructive to human freedom as subjugation by conquest. Principle 28, the United States has a manifest destiny to eventually become a glorious example of God's law under a restored constitution that will inspire the human race. These are the basic founding principles that all the founding fathers agreed on. And they, you know, extrapolated on those and went on to convince people to sign the Constitution. But what we have in the United States, and I've mentioned this, is various tribes, and the Americans are for these 28 principles. The members of the tribe of Americans are all conservatives, all Christians who actually practice their faith, some alternative news sources, and I mean some, and this is strange, some sexual perverts. There are sexual perverts that are conservatives. Some career politicians, and a very few government employees. Now, these are the members of the Americans. Now, here's the anti-Americans. I don't know what else to call them yet. I can't call them commies because some of them can't even spell that word. But what they stand for is intolerance, forced servitude, slavery. We had one civil war already fighting Democrats because of their willingness and insistence on slavery. Racism. They create a voter base by creating perpetual victimhood. Socialistic viewpoints on ownership of all things. Ownership is a big thing with these people. They don't want people to own cars, clothing, firearms, vehicles, jobs, homes, land, etc. They want complete control of all facets of your life, including mandating you don't have an income unless they give it to you. They have a do-as-I-say-and-not-as-I-do attitude. Megalomaniac is one of the biggest things they have. It's an attitude of astounding levels of megalomaniac. It's, I know what's best for you. This is the attitude. I've had that said directly to my face. They promote non-responsibility for one's actions. They promote sexual perversion. They promote infanticide and eugenics. They actively work toward destruction of all things American, history, customs, morals, etc. They openly hate Christianity. They award failure. They never operate in a fair and ethical manner. They have no personal integrity. The basic push behind all Democrats is the end justifies the means. They rule by propitiation or threats. Propitiation is where you basically buy somebody's vote. Or you give them money so they don't beat you up, that kind of thing. So what Democrats do is they give stuff free to people, and then people say, well, you must really care about us, so we'll vote for you. They willfully censor all opposing speech or thoughts. They violate the rule of law at whim. They create unconstitutional laws. They pander to victim class by attacking and vilifying whites, as Hitler did to Jews. They want to eradicate all law enforcement so as to create a phony crime wave to justify them taking over in martial law. Here are the members of the anti-American tribe, all Democrats. Don't listen to some guy who says, oh, I'm a Kennedy Democrat, or, oh, I just vote Democrat because my father did. I don't pay attention to this politics stuff. They're liars. They feed the dragon. All Democrats are members of this tribe. All socialists, all communists, many Republicans, 95% of all the victim classes. The victim class are blacks, Mexicans, and sexual perverts. Most atheists, all of the mainstream media, most large alternative media, like Drudge Report, and there's more. Most career politicians. Now, I could be wrong. It could be all career politicians, but most career politicians, most government employees, city, county, state, and federal, most large corporations, all public schools, all colleges, and 99% of all unions. Do you see who we're up against? We're up against all of them, and we scare the hell out of them because we have morals, and Democrats don't. Democrat politicians truly, truly believe. Democrat politicians, Democrat corporations, the Democrats that control anything truly believe that they are the elite and their job is to make sure that all the rest of us have a safe and calm life. Nowhere in the credo or thoughts of a Democrat is the word freedom or liberty. All that's there is what's in it for me. What's in it for me? Their whole thought process based on that. Control and what's in it for me. Have you ever heard of the tribe Gypsies? Do you know what Gypsies are? Most people don't know. They just hear it, think it's a word or something. Let me tell you who the Gypsies were. The Gypsies were a tribe in India. They don't like the word Gypsy. Bad connotation. They like the word Romani or Roma.
but they're gypsies, and they were a tribe in India. They were very sloven, very sloppy, very lazy. They would rather steal than work. They were 1,500 years ago kicked out. They were kicked out. The gypsies were the crooks, the criminals, the con men, the thieves, what you call cut purse in the old days. You know, your purse was a bag that you wore around your belt, and they would cut it and take it. They were kicked out of India because of all of these things they did. And they would settle in an area. They wouldn't live there more than 30 days because they were so sloppy and piggish that area where they were living would fill up with garbage and they'd leave. They'd have to leave. So for centuries, they floated around Europe and were kicked out of every place they came to because of their level of criminality. And you look, it's hard, unless you know exactly what a gypsy, an original gypsy looks like, you couldn't tell them. I grew up with them. I can tell a gypsy, I can tell a Romani, I can tell from 10 feet out, I can tell them. So that's a tribe, that's an example of a tribe that have such low morals, ethics, and personal integrity that they were kicked out. They settled, most of them settled in the United States. In fact, Portland has a large, large group. Portland does, Seattle does, Sacramento does. And what I learned was they have two credos. They have two rules. One, you can screw everyone except family. And two, you can screw family if you tell them you're screwing them. I mean, that's a joke, but that's real. And all the gypsies I've ever known, I've dealt with them. I've bought vehicles from them. It's very well known in Portland. What they do is that they would come into a dealership and they'd say, I want to take this new truck out for a ride. I want to test drive a truck. And they set it up to where the salesman wasn't going to go with them. They're going to go by themselves. And then they'd steal the truck. And they'd take the truck to another state. And they'd go to a junkyard and get buy a junk truck that looks almost like this one. And there's ways to do it. But let's just say that's what they do. They're very well known at doing that. Thousands and thousands and thousands of vehicles are stolen out of Portland, Oregon, that I know of since the 80s because of that one trick. They're very ballsy. I had a Christmas tree lot one time, and about a 50-year-old gypsy comes up in a Cadillac, and she goes, I'm here to pick up my grandmother's Christmas tree. I go, what's her name? Because, you know, people would pay for it and say, I'll come back later. So I said, well, what's her name? Name's something or other. And I said, I don't have any record of that person buying a Christmas tree. Don't worry about it. I'll just take it. So she pushed hard. She was saying, oh, no, grandma's paid for it here. Here's a receipt. And she shows me some cockamamie receipt. And what? No, it must be somebody else. Must be another Christmas tree place. No, she pointed at you and this blah, 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 blah. So I messed with her basically, or vice versa, for about 10 minutes. And finally, she grabbed the tree and was starting to walk off with it. I grabbed the tree and I looked at her. I said, you're Oma. You need to leave before the police get here. She didn't even say a word. She just let go and left. I should have said that in the first place. I don't know. The Democrats are a tribe like that. They're the most evil organizational group that the United States has had since its founding. They are anti-American since its founding. They want nothing to do in any way, shape, or form with the concept of America. They want a reset. Remember that word? Yes, they want a reset. Everything. And that reset means the destruction of the Constitution of the United States. They're going to do everything in their power to force this reset. You know as well as I do, and you can do the research. You go and you look at the most heinous lockdowns in the United States, and guess where they are? Wherever the Democrats are in charge. Now, in Idaho, we have a governor who, well, he claims he's a Republican, but I can tell you this, he's not getting reelected because he acts like a Democrat. Even those on his council don't know why he's acting like this, because only Democrats are this restrictive and suppressive. So this is a warning from me. Democrats are evil. People think it's a joke. I have a sign in my store here. I've had it for 30 years. It says, friends, don't let friends vote Democrat. There's reasons behind that. I'm really close, not only to putting a sign up that says, if you've been vaccinated, no entry, but now I did have this sign in my gun shop in Modesto. I had this sign. No firearm sales to communists, socialists, or Democrats. We don't arm the enemy. And the newspaper came and took pictures of it. I had people file complaints against me with the police department, and I still kept that sign right on my front door. Now, if somebody came in and kept their mouth shut and bought a gun, I didn't ask them if they were a Democrat. But they are dangerous. They're not to be trusted. There are stories all over the internet. In fact, you might have some of your own where your best friend you've had for 30 years is a Democrat, and you figured, you know, it's not a big deal. And now all of a sudden, he's become a rabid animal. It's because you give them an inch, they'll slit your throat. Theoretically, you know what I mean? It's not really, well, at least I hope not. I hope it's not really physically. Do not trust them in any way, shape, or form. And if you just look at all the people that Biden wants to bring into the White House with him, there's sexual perverts, there's Muslims, there's racists, there's lesbians, homosexuals, and the thing that ties them all together is they're communists and they hate Christianity and they hate whites, which is astounding because a lot of them are white, but they must be special whites, I guess. I don't know. We are now going to talk about how to prep your survival mobile or your car, your truck, your ATV or what have you, your RV for winter, because it's coming and it's coming hard. And if I don't get this out of the way, I'm not going to feel like I did you guys justice. So you got a vehicle. Winter is different. Now, this sounds kind of duh-y, but still, winter is different than summer in your driving habits and in what you should have inside your vehicle in case of emergencies. Do not discount this. Do not say, oh, yeah, no big deal. I only drive to and from work. There are thousands of people worldwide that die yearly because they're not prepared when something happens. Remember Murphy? Yeah, Murphy's Law. If something can go wrong, it will go wrong. And we have up here in North Idaho all the time somebody makes the wrong turn or there's a snowstorm that swamps them and they're locked in their vehicle. They can't get out. They don't know what to do. And they die. Every year we read these stories. It happens in Idaho and Oregon and Wyoming and Montana and Utah. It's real simple. We'll start simple. We're going to looking at your car, okay? I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a little four-wheel drive Toyota or if it's a big RV. You still have to prepare it for winter. Like my RV, got to drain all the water, okay? What happens when water freezes? It expands. So if you've got water, just plain water in lines, and same thing happens in the house. It's happened to us before, but we're more concerned about cars. So if you have a radiator that is not functioning properly and it doesn't have antifreeze in it, instead you just cheaply threw water in it because that works just fine during summer, you got to get that drained out, flushed, and refilled with the proper antifreeze. And there's different levels of antifreeze. Not all the antifreeze is going to work the same. We'll get to that. But we're going to start on the outside. Nothing spells stupid more than somebody with bald tires driving on ice. We see it all the time. There's two games that people play up here. And these are usually the Flatlander inbreds that move up here. One, the first game is they're not bald enough yet. And the second game is it's not bad enough to put it in four-wheel drive yet. See, okay, there's two little stupid games. Check your tires. In the summer months, you can get away with almost bald tires. In the winter months, you cannot. Tires are vital. Your life depends on it. As a, when I was doing the gunsmithing, we would travel all over the United States showing off my work. And I can tell you, there are many times that we have had problems because our tires were not top-notch. That got fixed real quick. You check your tires. If they're not good enough to drive on ice, then you go get some new ones. I don't care how you do it. I don't care where you do it. You can go find used ones. Go look on Craigslist. Craigslist, man, the guy, you can see these guys pay $250 a pop for some mud and snow tires, and then they decide they want new tires, so they put them on Craigslist, $100 for all four. If I had the space, I'd buy all the tires I could find on Craigslist because they're so cheap. Anyway, that's where you can go. That's the easiest thing. So you check your tires. If your tires are decent enough, you make sure that the pressure is set perfectly. Never mind what's on the tire. You open your door. You look on the door jamb, driver's door, and you will see a little tag there that says somewhere that tag is, that'll tell you how much pressure you should have in the front tires and how much you should have in the rear tires. Follow that. Make sure your tires are balanced. I've watched a vehicle doing 65 miles an hour in traffic with everyone else in snow, and he had front tires were not balanced, and just that little bit of out of balance started it bouncing a little bit enough to where it lost traction, and he slid out into the gutter. If you're driving and you feel any kind of wobble at any speed, have it checked. You could have a bent rim, or it could be out of balance. Either way, get it handled. It's important that your tires are handled properly. Now, your windows, front, side, rear, make sure there's no broken glass. Look, if you do have broken glass on the sides, on the back, there's different things you can do to fix that. There's these little kits that you can buy that'll fix the little rock chip. I hate to say this, but I, at one time, on the side windows of my truck I had, it was cracked. Now, these are safety glass, so there's two layers of glass with a layer of thin film plastic between them, so it's not going to fall apart, but it was scary. So I took shipping tape, and I taped the crack up. It's just a long piece of tape on there, and it handled it until winter was over, and I could afford to buy a new window for the truck. You check your windows. Make sure all of them function properly. One of the things that does occur, especially in windows that roll up and down, is that dirt, sand, and crap gets in there. You know, you have these felt strips that the window rides against. Well, those felt strips get embedded with sand and crap, and as you roll the windows up and down, they start gouging the windows. Make sure those are cleaned out. You can take your air compressor and blow all the crap out, or you can wash it out, or whatever you want to do. Make sure that's cleaned out. Make sure your windows go up and down as they should. I'm going to tell you right now, when something doesn't work in the middle of a snowstorm and you're trying to use it, it's life-threatening. I rolled down a window one time. We were driving through Montana. I rolled down a window to throw out an apple core, and it wouldn't roll up. I have no idea why. It just wouldn't roll up. It was a crank. It cranked down fine, wouldn't crank up. Well, we got that fixed. But it was cold as hell for about 15 minutes till we found a place to pull off where we can grab the window and pull it up by hand. And here's the thing. Oh, yeah, here it is. Headlights. A lot of you don't pay attention to your headlights unless they're broken. And then, unfortunately, too many of you don't give a damn about that anyway. But when you look at your headlights, do the lenses look yellow? Okay, now this is important. The majority of headlights nowadays are lenses. They're plastic lenses. And inside this headlight assembly, you have this little tiny light bulb the size of my finger. And that's it. So what happens is that the lens starts to oxidize. When you buy a car new, you have plastic lenses, but it's covered with a microfine film of plastic to protect the lens. Over time, and depending on how you drive, and if you're going through inclement weather a lot, or there's a lot of sand out there, or smoke or something, that film will wear off, and your lenses start to oxidize at that point. They turn yellow. Okay, I got a long story about how finding that out saved my life, but don't have time for that. So what we're going to do is you're going to polish your lenses, and it's very, very simple. It really is very simple, and there's many different ways to do it, and there's kits all over the place you can buy. Do not get conned into going into your car dealership or any place and paying them $25 to $50 a piece to have your headlights polished. Go to any auto parts store. Get a plastic polish. Now, I use Meguiar's. It's Meguiar's motorcycle helmet plastic polish. I used it a long time ago when I used to ride bikes. And you get going about 80 miles an hour and you get hit with a grasshopper, your helmet's going to get a little scratch on it. So I keep my helmet polished, my face mask polished. Well, you wash your lens, your headlight, you wash it. And now you don't have to get Meguiar. You can get cheap plastic polish. It doesn't matter, but just plastic polish. I have had people tell me they've used toothpaste. I don't know. I guess you'd have to have a big brush for it to work. But anyway, you wash the lens, make sure it's clean and dry. Then you put plastic polish on, and you actually buff the lens. You will physically see the yellow coming off. You will see the lens becoming looking clear like new. Polish it, all parts of it, let it dry, buff it off. If you have to do it twice, do it twice. That cleans it off. Then you take some, like, Carnauba wax or some good wax, and you coat your lens with this. Now, you're going to have to do this. Once your lens starts turning yellow, that's it. That film, the protective film, is gone. So you clean it, and then you put a coat of wax on it, and you polish that off, because as soon as your headlight gets hot, that wax is going to melt. So you want to polish it off. All you're doing is putting a microscopic protection on there. All right, that's your headlights. If they're not working, replace them. And I just taught you how to clean and polish the darn things. Now, wipers, that's important too. Don't be cheap. I don't care how much you spend on wipers. Up here, it doesn't matter. You can spend $3 on a wiper refill or $27 on some new fantabulistic three-prong, whatever the hell it is, wiper blade. You're going to have to replace it next year. Every year, they got to get replaced. It just happens. Now, your windshield. Now, there's some tricks to this wiper windshield thing. If your windshield's dirty, your wiper blades are going to wear off fast. Like if you have ice on your windshield and you turn your wiper blades off, well, that's like taking a wiper blade and scraping it across 80 grit sandpaper. So don't do that. Just, you know, don't do that. You can turn, before you even use your wipers, start your engine, let everything warm up, let your windshield get defrosted, if you have the time for that. If not, go get some Prestone spray-on antifreeze or windshield ice de-icer. $1, $2 a bottle, they last you the whole season. Try to get as little as possible on your paint. It's not going to destroy your paint unless it really sits on there for a long time. I just put a little bit on and let it, and then you scrape it a little bit. So have some de-icer with you. I can throw it in the trunk. Your wiper blade, make sure it's clean. I will take windshield washer material or like Windex or something and a rag, and I'll wash my wiper blades. And if I feel a nick or a chip in that blade, it's garbage. I got to get another one. Wash your windshield well, dry it, and then take 4-0 steel wool. That's 0000 steel wool. It's ultra fine steel wool. And lightly polish your windshield. You think it's clean, but it's not. It's got microscopic crap on it. You polish it lightly with that, and you usually only have to do that once a year. And then your windshield wipers and your windshield mate perfectly, and it's slick as cat snot. Pay attention. These little things are the things that are going to cause you problems if they break down. And anything, oh, look, you got things hanging underneath your vehicle. Come on, man. Get on your back and crawl under there and tighten them up. It is so ridiculous. I watch people drive down the street and their tailpipe is banging and dragging. And you got molding. If your molding is coming off, take it off all the way or wash both sides. Wash the car part where it mounts. Wash the molding. Put double stick tape on there, rubber cement. I don't care what you got to do. You can't have stuff hanging and dragging, because what happens is, first, you look like a retard. And then second, that can break off. And that can hit somebody. I've seen this. Now we're going to get into your motor and your powertrain. Check your oil. Make sure it's okay. If you think it needs changing, get it done. I always stay right on top of this oil change thing, because I don't know when the Schumer's going to hit the fan and I'm not going to be able to take it in and get it done. So change your oil and your filter. Check your air for air filter. Check your cabin filter. Most modern cars, if not all modern cars, have a cabin filter. It's usually behind the dash box. Check your tranny fluid. Check your brake fluid. This is important too. I've actually seen brake fluid freeze. It was so filthy, it was black. Nowadays, it takes nothing to flush out your brake fluid. You take it into the shop, they put a pressure thing on there, open up all the pit cocks at once, and fresh brake fluid in there. Check your radiator level. Use a hydrometer. If you don't know what that is, look it up. Hydrometer. It checks the fluid and lets you know the condition of the antifreeze. You know, it used to be, you open up your radiator, you look down there, go, yep, looks good. Now you can't do that. You got to check it. You have to check it. We get these flatlanders up here that have antifreeze in their vehicle that's good down to 20 degrees. Unfortunately, it gets down to negative 20 up here. And then they wonder how come the freeze plugs blow out. The engine freezes up. Well, you got to have the right antifreeze in there. It's not that expensive. It really isn't. Now, if you're ever going to change your own antifreeze, do not just put it on the ground. It is poison to dogs and cats. It smells like candy to dogs and cats, so they'll go and lick it up. But it will kill them immediately. and make sure nothing's leaking. Now, look, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to take a car over to one of them 50-cent car washes and spray wash the engine, top and bottom. That accomplishes two things. Number one, when you have dirt and grime on an engine, that's a hot spot. That's going to get hotter than the rest of the engine, and that could cause undue wear. And number two, if you clean the engine, then you can actually see where it's leaking, if it's leaking. And if it is, get it fixed. Figure it out. Oh, by the way, the wiper fluid, do not get just good enough. Get the best you can that has negative 20 degrees or better. Some of that stuff is like bright orange, works good. I can tell you, I was in a snowstorm in North Carolina driving a 1961 Valiant, and I just bought it, had it all tuned up and everything, and got hit with this snowstorm, cleaned my windshield, pushed the button for the wiper fluid to come out, and the wiper fluid came out all right, hit the windshield, and froze solid. I had to open the window, stick my face out in a snowstorm so I can see to pull over on the side, and then I had to pull out a credit card and scratch the ice off the damn thing. It was ridiculous. So get the lowest degree wiper fluid you can find. Now your doors, check the inside of your doors. Make sure they open. Now if you open your door and it sounds like it sounds like the Impala that's on Supernatural, oil that. Either put on some, don't use WD-40. WD-40, by the way, is not a lubricant. It's it frees bolts and nuts. It freezes them. It frees them up so they work. It's a cleanser. WD stands for water displacement. It was designed to displace water from electrical connections. So use some good oil or even grease. Make sure your latches work perfectly. Make sure your door handles work perfectly. One of the big problems is the keyholes freeze up here. Now, there's tricks to that, okay? What I do once a year is I'll spray some graphite in there. Graphite doesn't freeze. But I always have a little tube, like a straw, about 6 inches long. So if your latch, it doesn't matter if it's a door latch, a hood latch, a trunk latch, if it freezes up and you can't move it, what you do is you take a plastic straw and you stick it in the slot there where the key goes, and you blow in there. Just that will thaw out the latch enough to where you can unlock it. But make sure everything's working fine, however you got to do it. And also check your seals. You know, make sure your hinges are tight. These are things that your daddy should have told you. Let's see. Clean them. You know, one of the things that I did discover years ago was that those rubber seals on the door, they keep not just the wind out, but they keep the cold out and the heat out and the cold in and the heat in. And if they're not working right, you're going to get a whistling sound when you're driving, especially in a 56 VW Bug. Check all your controls inside. You know, your lights, your blinkers, your heater fan control, your air conditioner control, check everything. You don't want to have to go through any of this crap in the middle of a snowstorm or get stuck somewhere. Make sure that the gas and brake and clutch pedals aren't sticky or jammed. Another big problem that happens up here is people buy those WeatherTech mats and they put them in their car and they don't pay attention to the fact that as soon as you step on your brake, it can flip behind those mats and slam on the brakes. Or same thing with the gas pedal. A guy drove through a 7-Eleven store up here. I mean, literally, parked out front, and then he revved the engine up. I watched it happen. I thought he was just making the engine rev so it'd be hotter. And the gas pedal stuck under one of those mats, and he was in drive, and he flew right through the front of the window. So you've already tested your heater, your defroster, make sure everything works. You know, a lot of the old, in fact, the new ones too, did they just use like 2- and 3-inch pipe or hose. It's aluminum that's cardboard lined to hook up your defroster and your heater. It can break, and they do break. And then all of a sudden you got no defroster. Well, that's really embarrassing when you got to be working 15 minutes and your windshield's fogged up. And your defroster's not going to work. Okay, so basically what I had you do is check your whole vehicle to make sure that vehicle is going to be functional enough to for you to feel safe in. Now, see, here's the problem. An idiot will feel safe in anything. An intelligent person will feel safe in something that they've checked out. So don't be an idiot. Now, you're going to want some standard equipment in your vehicle. These are standard. This is what you should have in the winter. Now, everybody's different. My friend in Key, Florida, he's not going to have this in there in his vehicle. He'll have suntan lotion or something, right? So it just depends on where you live, what you're going to need. But generally, you're going to need a toolkit. You're not going to be pulling your axles, so you don't need a monster toolkit. But you need a toolkit that can handle certain things that could happen in an emergency. Obviously, flashlights and batteries. And, I have two or three or four different flashlights in every vehicle. Road flares. Now, in the snow, they don't do a hell of a lot of good. But at least, if you're on a freeway, you can put the flares out and it makes people think that you're, you know what you're doing. First aid kit. This is real. You will get hurt. There's not a big deal about it. You'll cut yourself. You'll rip a piece of skin. You poke yourself. Make sure you get a first aid kit. You figure it out yourself what you want. Mine has bandages and pads and aspirin and ibuprofen and cayenne pepper. It's a coagulant that you put on a cut. Toilet paper, if not just for blowing your nose, for the reason it's for. We got stuck in places where, you had to go use the bathroom. If you can, get one of them whole ski masks that goes over your face, the black one. Yeah, those things would really help, especially when I was putting chains on my truck at negative 40 degrees in the wind. I didn't have one. Insulated gloves. You're probably going to have your cell phone with you. Make sure you got your charge cable with you. Get some survival blankets, those aluminized blankets. Now, they're not going to be doing you a hell of a lot of good in the middle of winter, but they're still a good thing to have. You can line a normal blanket with it. So you would also want a couple fabric blankets, a couple serapes in the car, fold them up, or get some old Navy blankets or Army blankets. They're wool. You need a emergency filtering water bottle. You can find these all over the place. This it'd be a good thing to have. We sell the little Sawyer minis that you can use to filter water, but I'd like to have containers that I can put water in. In fact, if you get these roll up 5-gallon buckets, that's helpful also. Sometimes you might need to fill up the radiator. Believe it or not, I was in the middle of a snowstorm up at in Kybers, Northern California, and my radiator overheated because the hose broke and it dumped out all the fluid in the middle of a snowstorm. It dumped out all the antifreeze, everything. So I had duct tape. And I cleaned off the hose, the radiator hose, and I wrapped a hell of a lot of duct tape around it. And then I took I had a bucket, one of those fabric fold collapsible buckets, and I went down to the creek, which wasn't froze over, and I pulled water out of there and put it in the radiator, and it got me home. Make sure you got spare fuses in your vehicle. Whatever kind of fuse you use, every vehicle's different. The old vehicles use the cylindrical fuses. New ones use these little pokey ones. Get that. And de-icer, I told you about that. Keep a can of that in your vehicle, if not just for you, for other people too. And get some of that Gorilla duct tape. Any duct tape would work, but you want Gorilla if you can get it. Have a compass. Now, I'm not usually thought of as an idiot, but once I was driving south, I was going down to Southern California, and I was up here. Now, we have two seasons in Idaho. One is winter, and the other is construction. So I chose to drive during the season of construction. I didn't know where the hell I was, and I ended up in this farmer's front yard. And he said, you're the fourth one today. So I ended up going east instead of south. Have a compass. Make sure you have jumper cables in your vehicle. Maybe not for you. Maybe for somebody else, stuck somewhere. Instant tire inflator. Get a can of slime, it's called. Now you're... Tire shop's not going to like you for this because it stays in there. But what it does is if you get a flat tire in the middle of nowhere and you don't have a spare, you just screw it onto your valve stem. It fills it up, plugs the leak, and it'll get you to someplace that you can have the tire chains fixed or what have you. Do yourself a favor also. Have a piece of carpet, about a 3x3. There's nothing worse than having to work on your tire, your wheel, under your car, and you can kneel it on asphalt or rocks or something like that. So a little piece of carpet in there works just good. Fire starting kit or lighters, just in case you got to light a fire. Make sure you got a folding knife or a fixed blade knife in there. Now, this is not what you're wearing. This is what's in your vehicle, okay? So make sure you got a blade in there. and a battery-operated radio, and that's why I like the Voyager. I got stuck outside of Salt Lake years ago. It was the first snow of the year, and every idiot was out there with bald tires. They had 300 spinoffs. We were stuck on the road for 8 hours, and we ended up in 3 feet of snow. But I had my little battery-operated radio, so I was listening to old-time music and old-time theater on my shortwave. Have a shovel or the USGI the folding and trenching tool. I like the 40-inch D-handle one, okay? Because you're going to need to pull yourself out once in a while or dig somebody out. And now, here's another thing. If you have a vehicle that can handle this, get yourself a tow chain or one of them tow straps in case you have to use it either for yourself or to pull somebody else out of a ditch. I had a fuel pump go out in my Volkswagen station wagon years ago. I was up at the border of Oregon and California. And the good thing, I had a tow strap. Guy towed me 60 miles into town to where I could get another fuel pump. Nylon rope, that's a good thing to have also. You know, quarter-inch nylon rope, you can use it for all kinds of different things. Now, there's more that you can put in your vehicle. There's more in my vehicle, any of my vehicles. But that just gives you some ideas. Now, additional equipment. This is if you want to have this stuff. A CB radio is a must. This is additional, okay? Because then you can talk. Now, I had a CB radio when I got stuck in the snow, coming out of Salt Lake. And I wouldn't have known what was going on because the backup on the highway was about 10 miles long. But I got on a CB and I talked to a trucker up at the front, and he explained to me what was going on. So I could tell everybody back there what was going on. A single bit axe, just in case you got to cut a log, cut a tree or something that fall down. A high lift jack. If you don't know what those are, look it up. High lift jack. A tow chain, I just said about either a tow chain or a strap. Now, come along. Come along is a ratcheting system that you hook onto something as a base, and then a cable up to 100 feet long comes out, has a hook on it, and you ratchet it, and you pull things out. Now, I've used that to pull Jeeps that had high-centered up in the hills. Bolt cutters, you never know when you're going to need to cut a lock on a gate. Have some filtered water with you. Now, whenever you go on a trip, I don't mean 5 miles from home to work, but when you're going to head somewhere, make sure you have about a gallon of filtered water with you. And I say filtered because if you might need it in a battery, you might need it in a radiator, about a gallon of water with you just in case. And don't leave it in the vehicle. Just put it in there for each trip. Bottle of hand cream. Hand cream insulates you from the cold. You can put the hand cream on your face, on your neck, on your ears, and it helps insulate you. Take some kitty litter. Now, I take a coffee can, and I have a 50-50 mix of ice melt and kitty litter. And that has helped unstick people who get stuck in the ice. You just sprinkle some in front and rear of the tire, and they'll break loose. Engine starting fluid. I don't know if that's necessary anymore because of the way new motors work, but I always had one in there. Some spray lube. Stuff always sticks up. I have a Teflon spray lube. And mostly, now this is for carburation. Carburetors, not the fuel injection system. But I've had carburetors where the choke would stick or where the fuel linkage would stick up. And it would just freeze up. You spray it down with this stuff and everything works fine. Talcum powder. Just a little tiny bottle of it. Sometimes the fan belt starts squealing. Well, it's real simple. Spray it with talcum powder, stops the squealing. Have yourself a tarp. If you can get a tarp that'll cover your whole car, that's perfect. The tarp is necessary in case you have to work in the rain. If you're going to work on your engine and it's pouring down rain, you can take this tarp and you wrap it around you and hook it over the hood, what have you. Gallon, quart, and sandwich Ziploc baggies. Let me tell you how important they are. I'm driving a 1951 school bus. I'm up outside of Medford, and my transmission had a 4-speed transmission in it, and the transmission locked up on the freeway. Because I'm smart enough to have my tools with me, I was able to drop the transmission and take it apart. I mean, not on the freeway, off the freeway, actually. So I took the transmission apart, and I had a gallon baggie in there, so I could take those oily, greasy gears and put them in the baggie and zip it closed, and all of that crap is in there, not on my hands. And then I had to hitchhike into town and get new gears. And when I went into the Napa store and told him what I needed, he looked in the bag and he goes, well, that's a smart idea. I got to remember that. He says, yeah, sure, here, I got all those gears. Where are you at? What shop are you with? I said, I'm with the freeway. I'm out there. And he looked at me, he goes, you're kidding me. I said, no, I'm on a freeway. And he goes, okay, I'll give you a ride back. So he did, and he stood there chatting with me for half an hour while I rebuilt the transmission and put it back in. He could not believe that. I'm giving you ideas, all right? And that's the whole key behind survival, is that people give you ideas. Your job is to take them and stretch them out to where you can use them and make them work for you. It's that simple. All right, I got to go. No more time. You need anything from Survival Enterprises? SE1.US, SE1.US, SurvivalEnterprises.com, or give us a call, 800-753-1981. Keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground and pay attention. You know, I hate to say this, but this life is just too damn interesting. See you next time.